I'm Herman Cain, president of Godfather's Pizza. We are proud of the tremendous amount of toppings we put on our pizza. And that's why we buy a lot of cheese from folks like the Chechiks.
Our dairy produces cheese in great volume.
And we're one of the few operations that's vertically integrated.
Good point, dear. We own everything from the cheese slicer right down to the cow's udder. Hence our corporate philosophy, one hand washes the udder.
The udder. Maybe that's why Godfather's Pizza is our biggest client. They go through a lot of cheese.
Yes, 7,700 tons, according to this report.
In fact, they keep us so busy, we've got 9 cows working the midnight shift.
Which is hard because their cowbells tend to keep the roosters up and we oversleep.
More toppings, made possible by people like the Chechiks. Enjoy your Godfather's Pizza. And take life one bite at a time.
Now for a limited time, get 2 large super pepperoni golden crust Godfather's pizzas for only $16. Dine in, carry out, or delivery at both Fairbanks locations.
By now, you've probably heard of University Resume Service Alaska. Hi, I'm Phil Deischer, owner of University Resume. University Resume Service has been producing custom resumes in Fairbanks for 8 years. We are a professional writing business, and we have helped literally hundreds of people from every trade and profession sell themselves on paper. Professional writing is more than just typing. Indeed, professional writing is a unique skill, the way every profession is unique. Professional writing applied to your resume can give you the edge in landing the interview, which could lead to the job you want. A resume, which has numerous uses, usually takes about 2 hours to write. No more struggling over how to sell yourself on paper. In 2 hours or less, University Resume can have you armed with a custom resume and seeking the job you need for the career you want. For any kind of career writing, from resumes to loan applications, Federal Form SF-171 federal and state applications, call University Resume Service Alaska at 479-5747. For all types of professional writing, we're in the yellow pages under resumes.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna, and you know this is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and mysterious future. Hey, if you got a question you want to ask on mining in Alaska, or you want to talk to our guest today, who is going to be Sandra Stillion, give us a call. Our number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. We'd like to hear from you. Well, what are we going to do first today, folks? I think we ought to get back to having our weekly contest, in which we can win, among other things, a 1 ounce silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street here in Fairbanks, Alaska. I remember with Steve Agbaba on the show here not too long ago, I misnumbered that address at 802, and somebody called me up and said that I lied to him. It was 208 Wendell Street, and as you come across the Wendell Street Bridge, you look up on that building there, and you can see their big, handsome sign hanging on the side of the building. And remember, Oxford Assaying and Refining are your precious metals people. So, today's question, and are you ready for this now? You know who all my sponsors are. We have a sponsor. Their phone number is 452-6491. I want to know where they're at, who they are, and what they do. And when you tell me what they do, I want to know all about what they do. And they've got an ad in a area where everybody has access, and that, of course, is on the back of our local telephone directory. So the first person that will call me here at 479-TALK and give me the name of that business will win a 1 ounce silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining. But I will also give away, for the second and third person that calls, a crystalline geode from Alaskan Prospectors, and they're located at 504 College Road. So give us a call. seems we're having a little trouble here. Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, that's B&L Pond.
That's B&L Pond.
They're located at 605 Gaffney. They pawn anything. They have a large sales area in their store where they'll buy and sell anything. And they even have a setup for emergency cash.
Is that right? Is there anything else you'd like to tell us about B&L Pond?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but They wheel and deal just about anything.
They wheel and deal about anything. You know, on the back of the telephone directory, it says here they got dynamite deals. You remember that, of course.
Yeah.
And have you listened to this program before?
Yes, sir.
You have. You're a good girl.
Just about weekly.
Weekly. Wow, I appreciate it. Hey, what's your name?
Patty Griswold.
Patty, tell you what, do. Stop up here and pick up this certificate for a 1 ounce silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining. You know where they're at?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and pick this up, take it over to Oxford, and tell D.R. Ray that you were fortunate enough to win the contest here on Alaska Gold Trails and present them with the certificate, and they will give you a 1 ounce silver ingot, and you're going to love it, I promise you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for the call, Patty.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I guess I wasn't the first person.
No, but you still got a chance at the crystalline geode from Alaskan Prospector, sir.
Well, one of the things that I don't think that lady mentioned was they do take consignment, and also if you're going out of town or something, they will store your valuables for you while you're out of town.
Good point, sir. Thank you very much for the call, and give me your first name.
Larry.
Larry, thanks a lot for the call, and thanks for listening.
Okay.
Larry. Bye. Hi, you're on the air. You're caller number three.
Hi. Shall I take over where the two left off?
You can say anything you want as long as it's clean.
Okay. Well, I don't know if anybody mentioned they if they don't sell it, that you don't pay them your
you don't
if
pay.
If we don't sell it, you don't pay us our commission.
That's right. That's right. And that's B&L Pond.
Yes, that's B&L Pond shop. Corner of Cushman and Gaffney, 605 Gaffney.
Okay, you know what you've done? You've just won a crystalline geode from Alaskan Prospectors. You can pick up those geodes on Mondays, Fridays, and Saturdays. They're on winter days right now.
Great.
And drop on over there, 504 College Road, and they'll be happy to hand you your... Actually, they got several of them that you can select from.
Sure.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
And what's your name?
Jenny. J-I-N-N-Y. Kawasaki. K-A-W-A-S-A-K-I.
Okay, Jenny. Thank you very much
for
the call.
Thank you, Jim.
Bye
now.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim. What I'm calling about is I did win one of the crystal geodides here some time back.
Did you pick it up?
But when I went up to get a certificate for it, they didn't have one.
No certificate required, hon. All you have to do is stop over there and just ask Leah, and she'll be happy to give it to you. Or Nancy. Yeah, and you got a couple to select from. I'm sorry. I should have made that clear. You just stop over there at the shop, and I've already informed them that you're on your way. Okay?
Oh, all right. Thank you.
Okay, you're sure welcome. Bye-bye. Well, that ends our contest for today, and I want to introduce our guest, Sandy Stillion. Sandy, welcome to Alaska Gold Trails.
Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here.
I've been looking forward to this for a long time. It was quite a struggle to get you onto the show. I had to almost rope you and drag you up the stairs here. It's been, I've been trying for, 4 or 5 months. You've had quite a historical history in coming into the country and living in the country and a lot of activities and watching Fairbanks grow since the early 1950s all the way up to the present time. And you've been active in not only a number of businesses, but not only in industry, but also in your privately owned businesses, as well as in social activities. And we want to hear just all about you for a while, like where were you born, and I won't ask you your age because I know how women are about those kinds of things. So where were you born, Sandy?
I was born in San Francisco.
Oh, city girl. What in the world ever drug you up to Alaska from the city?
Well, that's sort of what my mother wondered too when Dad decided he wanted to come to Alaska. Dad had been up here working for 2 summers prior to 1954. And at that time, I had an aunt and uncle who had been up here those prior 2 summers homesteading. And so for that third year coming up, they they suggested to Dad that it might be a good thing for us to come along. And so he convinced Mom, and we did set out sort of caravan style. We had an old bus. I think it was an old 40-foot pre-1940 school bus that had been converted for sleeping arrangements, cooking arrangements, and in the back end of it, they had sectioned off for the horse and some goats.
I see. Was this the precursor of the RV, recreational vehicle?
Yeah, I believe it was.
I see.
I believe it was.
And you had these animals, and you came to Alaska. What did you have in mind? What did you and your family, what did you have in mind as you moved northward? What did you expect Alaska to be like?
Well, I was only 11 at the time, and to me it was a grand adventure. I didn't really know where Alaska was. I just knew it was full of mysterious-sounding things. Dad is a carpenter, and so there was a lot of work going on at that time. The military was experiencing a lot of buildup on the bases, and so there was a lot of work for carpenters. And
how far did you make it? Did you make it all the way to Fairbanks?
No, as a matter of fact, we didn't. Mom put out the skids at North Pole, I think, and said, we're not going any further. So we settled in North Pole.
Before you ever got to Fairbanks? You didn't even come into Fairbanks?
Didn't even come into Fairbanks, no. I don't even remember when I first made my trip into Fairbanks.
Is that a fact? She said, that's it.
That's
10 miles from Fairbanks. I can't believe it.
Right.
See, the big city, not far away. Mm-hmm. Could you see the lights?
No lights. In fact, the lights of North Pole, which was barely a blink in the road, was the biggest lights we'd seen for some time.
At North Pole, how many people were in North Pole at that time?
I don't recall. Maybe 150, a couple hundred. I don't know for sure. I know school was just a handful of kids. We had multiple grades in each room.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, Old coal, oil-burning space heater. You know, the tales of the classrooms where you had to rotate seats so you could take your turn at getting warm. We did that a little bit.
Is that right?
Yes.
How interesting. What grade were you in when you arrived?
I was in the fifth grade when we arrived.
The fifth grade. Mm-hmm. And did you graduate from grammar school there?
Yes. North Pole.
Did they have high school?
By the time I was out of the eighth grade, they had just built Lathrop. So Lathrop was a brand new school when I started high school.
You mean to say that you didn't have the joy of attending main school?
No, I didn't.
Oh, that's too bad.
I'm sorry to say.
One of the historical sites.
Yes, it is.
A memory that I have when I first came up here was attending main school. Well, but it must have been interesting to walk into the newly constructed high school here in Fairbanks with all the new rooms, and you didn't have to rotate around a big heater to keep mm-hmm. each kid thawed out. Is that right?
Uh-huh. It was a big life.
It was a big life. And what did you think? What did you think when you got to Alaska? What did you think about North Pole and Fairbanks after you'd had a chance to roam around a little bit?
I was pretty much thrilled with the remoteness of it all. We had to use an old pitcher pump to pump water into the house. One of my oldest memories of living out there was trying to get that doggone powdered milk to mix up, get the lumps out of it. We sort of grew up with powdered milk and canned milk. To this day, I can't get enough fruit because in those days fruit was a seasonal thing. It came in just certain times of year and you only got so much of it and that was it.
That's right.
So those are some of the things I first remember when I think back of the early 50s in North Pole. No television, no telephones.
Oh, what a hardship.
Right, remote.
Remote. And how close was your nearest neighbor? That might be...
Really just across the street. We were right there in a little settlement of North Pole. They had a few streets and... I don't remember just how many dwellings were there.
But generally, they did have a few streets, but the houses were, separate? Not quite like a...
A couple houses per block.
Oh, yeah, well,
something
okay.
Like that.
High density.
Yeah, right. High-density living.
Uh-huh. And, okay, once you went to high school at Lathrop, you continued on at high school there, or did they...
I also spent a little bit of time going to high school out at Ben Eielson High. Spent some time out there.
That was on the military there.
Mm-hmm, out at Eielson.
I see.
At that time, we had the ability to attend whichever high school we wanted to, but we had to provide our own transportation.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the girls' fathers that worked out at Eielson used to take us out there. And everybody in town knows Chuck Reese, and that's where I first met him out there. He was just a young man. He was driving shuttle bus at Eielson.
I'll be talking. Uh-huh. Tell us a little bit about that time of your life when you came into North Pole and Fairbanks and attended school at the various locations, perhaps grammar school in the fifth grade. Tell us a little bit about what other kinds of activities you did in North Pole as children. What did the children of the area do? What kind of things that they did they do to take up their time?
My aunt had horses, and so I spent a great deal of time horseback riding summer and winter. We could horseback ride bareback up to about 30 below. Anything colder than that, it just wasn't fun anymore. Winter times, we used to be pulled behind cars with on old car hoods, and those were our sleds. We spent a lot of time sledding up and down Badger Road when it was still a gravel road and there was little or no traffic out there. Reading, we read a lot in the wintertime. Summer times were, of course, a great joy for any kid back then when we were cooped up so much of the winter. We spent a lot of time rafting up and down the slough that now runs right through the center of all the activity out there.
What do you mean you rafted up and down the slough? What was going on there?
I don't know where the raft came from, but we had found an old raft there on the slough, and we got some big, long poles, and we used to pole up and down the slough and thought we were really exploring. We might have went as far as where the new Super Value now is, but to us that was a long distance back there on the slough.
Well, that was frontiersy back there in those days, wasn't it?
We thought it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was intrigued with the whole idea of it. I remember it was my first experience with mosquitoes, too, that summer. Yeah.
What kind of protective device is
that? We didn't have any that I remember. Actually, it was kind of a frightening experience. I was out in the spring, and all of a sudden there was a swarm of mosquitoes around, and I ran to the house for protection and soon got over that.
Well, what was this raft? I got it in my mind that this is a Huckleberry Finn type affair in which the kids were on a log raft floating down a small stream.
It is. It is. Uh-huh.
Wow.
I don't remember it specifically being all logs. Might have had some lumber nailed to it.
Uh-huh.
But that's what it is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you ever get in trouble with when you were a kid doing small pranky type things?
No, there really wasn't anything out there to do that was prankish. We did have outhouses, and they were too big and heavy to turn over.
That's right. I remember moving the outhouses. That used to be a corker, yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, maybe the boys did that, but the girls didn't.
I see. And tell us a little bit about life as you saw it in Fairbanks. What was the atmosphere like in Fairbanks and North Pole in terms of frontierism? Were there? I know that some people have said that there were a lot of log houses around and cabins, and as well as frame houses, but we didn't have the modern stucco type houses that we have today. Did you witness Fairbanks with its little log cabins, and for the most part, or had the frame houses and more modern style houses come in?
Well, even the nicer frame homes, some of those were built in the early 20s over there on Cowles and 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Some of those homes would have been there that long. But yes, there were. There were a lot of the log homes, maybe a few boardwalks on the outer edges of town. But Fairbanks, I think one of the things I remember most distinctly was the old steel-girdled bridge that crossed the river. You know, now we have a nice cement bridge, but at that time it was the old military-style steel bridge that crossed the river.
And that was that ended right there at the right where it is now.
Right.
Only thing, it was all steel.
That's right.
Yeah. And what was the, it seemed to me back in those days, the military actually set up sites in downtown Fairbanks with machine guns and did military activities downtown. Now, I don't know if that was at the same time or if you witnessed that kind of thing going on.
No, I didn't. We lived at North Pole, and it was a big trip to town.
I see.
Generally, we made a Saturday trip to town.
I see. Look, what I want to do is I want to come back in a few minutes after a couple of messages, and I want to talk about some of the people that you might have known, some of the old-timers, as well as some of the adventures that you might have had and scary events that occurred to you in as you grew up here in Alaska.
Here's a super value offer too good to refuse. This week you receive two, that's right, 2 1-pound loaves of fresh, right from the oven, unsliced bread, absolutely free within $10 purchase. If you haven't tried the aroma-soaked, fresh-baked bread from the ovens at Super Value, you are in for a treat. So look for the free bread coupon in Wednesday's paper. But if you miss this great offer, remember you can get 2 1-pound oven fresh, unsliced loaves every day for just 99 cents. Any way you slice it, it's a deal. Super Value, where we'll always save you dough.
I want to take a minute out, folks, and tell you about Days Inn in Anchorage, Alaska. They're located at 321 East 5th Avenue. That's 5th and Cordova Street, Anchorage, Alaska. And if you'd like to make reservations at the Anchorage Days Inn, you can give them a call at 276-7226. Or, if you would like, you can telex them at 090-25185. Whether you're traveling for business or pleasure, at the Days Inn Anchorage, you can expect personal service, quality accommodations, and affordable rates. And they are, of course, located downtown. They've got 116 rooms, free parking. They've been there and open since 1984. They have airport limousine, airport courtesy telephone, and rental cars are available. They have a 24-hour restaurant, room service, wake-up and message service, in-house movies, satellite TV, and free local calls. So if you're traveling to Anchorage, Alaska, stop in, visit with the folks at Days Inn. They're located, once again, 321 East 5th Avenue. That's 5th and Cordova Street. And if you'd like to make reservations or get information, you can call their toll-free number. That's 1-800-325-2525. And once again, their phone number down there in Anchorage is 276-7226.
There's so much to choose from on the cable television menu.
These sports look pretty good. I'd like a little baseball and a touch of fishing.
A little of this for starters, a little of that for an entree. It's your choice.
Boy, all these movies that are only on cable. Should I try a suspense or maybe a western or a musical for a change?
With cable television, you have a delicious selection of movies, sports, news programs, family entertainment, music, the arts, the shows you want most.
Now for dessert. Broadway shows, fluffy little comedies, cartoons. I'll have one of each.
All in all, there's one word that describes cable television.
It's a feast.
Right.
Turn on Cook Cable Vision tonight and see Burt Lancaster and Audrey Hepburn star in The Unforgiven on the Superstation WTBS. Alfred Hitchcock presents. See these episodes exclusively on the USA Network. Championship basketball continues tonight with Pac-10 action on ESPN. Catch it all on Cook Cable Vision tonight or call 452-7191 and see what you've been missing.
And when you call Cook Cablevision, ask for Ruby. I guarantee she'll give you good service and friendly service at the same time. I want to tell you, folks, we're here with Sandra Stillion, and she, of course, is president of Alaska Women in Mining, and she's giving us a little background on her life here in Alaska. And if you'd like to ask a question here on Alaska Gold Trails or a question of Sandra, just give us a call. The number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Sandra, tell us, did you ever have any scary things happen to you? Did you ever have anything that kind of was peculiar and perhaps dangerous because it was in Alaska, perhaps, rather than in San Francisco, California, that might occur to you? Like some of the stories that have come by, people fall through ice, houses burn down, you know, these kinds of things that happen to Alaskans in the last frontier that wouldn't necessarily happen in the conterminous United States. Did you ever have anything like that?
Yes, we did. Probably what is indicative of the harsh subarctic temperatures that we have here and the lack of modern conveniences we had at that time. We had a near-fatal incident out there at North Pole, our family. January 1955, the temperature was 40 or 50 below, as everyone seems to remember. And we didn't know it at the time, but the super cold air had kept the coal gases from going up the chimney. We had a coal stove in the basement, as most people did out there at that time. And somewhere during the middle of the night, the gases had built up in the house and had started to fill us with carbon monoxide. My little sister was the one to wake up in the early morning hours, and she was nauseated and sick and had woke me up, and I realized that something was wrong. I couldn't seem to get out of bed. I tried several times, and every time I tried to get up, I'd fall back down. My little sister managed to get down the stairs and into the bedroom where Mom and Dad was. Dad got up and instantly realized something was wrong, and even today doesn't really understand exactly why he knew so quickly what was happening. But we weren't able to breathe very well at that time and couldn't stand up well, so Dad had told us to get down on the floor, and he opened all the doors so we could get some fresh air in there. I have two brothers and a younger sister at that time, just four of us. Dad sent Mom, who wasn't feeling well herself but wasn't quite as affected as the rest of us because they slept in the bedroom with the door closed and the window slightly cracked. Mom made it over to the neighbor's house, Ruth Cunningham. There were many people know Ruth from out there. Was the one she contacted, and Ruth, in her earlier days, was a registered nurse. She came over to the house with another neighbor and realized that we were in pretty bad shape. They got us up and took us out into that cold air, and we spent the remainder of the night being held up, literally, on each arm of Ruth and walking up and down the streets. We'd walk until we were so cold we had to come in and warm up, and then Ruth would warm up and take another one of us, a couple of us kids, and head back out walking up and down the streets with us. We managed to all survive, but it was quite the topic of conversation for a while.
Sure, I can imagine it was. Mm-hmm. And was there any side effects or recognizable headaches or anything of that nature that went along with that, or was it?
Well, I've had people wonder if we didn't all suffer brain damage.
Look, did you know there were a lot of colorful characters around Fairbanks, probably in the time that you came here in the early 50s, people like Helga Ford and Eva McGowan, and they were, I think Eva was considered the hostess of Fairbanks and so forth.
Yes, she was. She was a very prominent figure at that time, and I didn't have the pleasure of knowing her personally, but she was the official hostess for the city and quite a grand lady to listen to. She was on TV every now and then. She did not escape the Nordale fire that occurred some number of years ago when it burned down the old Nordale Hotel. And Mrs. Ford was always, we didn't know Mrs. Ford personally either, but she was a mysterious, fascinating lady who wandered the streets of Fairbanks and always looked like she was in need.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, come to find out, she was quite a wealthy lady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she carried a lot of mystique for us, though. We used to like to talk about her.
Yeah, that's right. Was there anything that might have occurred? I don't know what might bring a story to mind for you, but I know you came to Alaska and you spent the way I understand it, you spent the rest of your life here. Is that right? Or did you go out for a period of time, or have you stayed right here?
No, we've been right here. I, as a child anyway, as an adult, I have been pretty much all over the United States for short periods of time and, of course, always choose to come back. I have a tour company, and I do tours in the summertime, and I like to tell people that we've just been here so long now, we don't know any better.
Uh-huh. It grows on you, huh?
Yeah, it does.
Tell us, you have a tour company, and give us a little bit of information. What's the name of the tour company?
Gold Rush Tours.
Gold Rush Tours. And how does that work?
We have sightseeing tours around town. It's about a 40-mile local sightseeing trip that takes in all of the downtown area. Of course, goes out and covers the pipeline out there by the Gold Ridge. Mm-hmm. Comes back in over the hill and takes in the Dog Mushers Museum, which was a big hit for visitors last year.
Mm-hmm.
We go around and show them the permafrost house there on Farmer's Loop, which is always an ooh and awe stop.
Kind of hard to believe a house is breaking in half.
Mm-hmm. They are very much interested in that kind of thing.
Uh-huh. And how long have you owned the tours?
Gold Rush Tours, 3 years.
Uh-huh. Did you originate the tours, or was that...
No, we bought an existing company.
I see. And who's your target? Who are the people that you're trying to attract to the tour?
Most of our reservations that come in are the RV caravanners that come into town.
I see.
There's a host of those companies now across the United States, and coming to Fairbanks has become very popular. The minute they get into town, they like to take a sightseeing tour, a city tour, to learn what we have to offer and a little bit of history. So they usually contact a tour company, and we're one of the probably the largest small companies in town. Mm-hmm. I have a little more flexibility than the larger companies do, and so we're pretty popular with those groups.
You're strictly local?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And how about local people? Can they take your tour?
Oh, certainly.
Do you think they would benefit from it?
I've had a lot of local people take my tour. I encourage my friends to come along whenever they want to and have actually pulled a few on board, and they're always amazed at how much they did not know.
It was also, well, a thought just entered my mind that it might be beneficial for people who just came to Fairbanks and who are starting life here in the, or not just Fairbanks. I have to get back. I spoke one time about Hector's Welding and the fact that Hector's Welding, and I got to break in on this, Hector's Welding was an interior manufacturer, and just so happened that Hector's Welding produces multiple channel sluice boxes, and of course these sluice boxes have gained wide acceptance throughout the placer mining community. And it just so happened I had Don Nelson on the show at that time, and I was talking all about Hector's and the fact that they were located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway, and that, you know, I gave telephone numbers and everything, like 488-6432, and I said, right here in Fairbanks, we have the world's greatest sluice box manufacturer, mining equipment manufacturer. And Don says, Jim, we'll give you a little flexibility, but you can't steal that from North Pole.
You can't steal it. Hector's been there a long time.
Hector's been there a long time. He does a lot of things, and he's made a great contribution to the Alaskan placer mining community, and that he certainly specializes in mining equipment fabrication, and he makes sluice boxes, and as well as conveyors and feeders, grizzlies, and screening plants. And they also, one of the things that's interesting is that, you know, every creek has its own little characteristic. It's got characteristics in terms of the gravels that have to be washed. And with that in mind, it's necessary to have specialized riffle systems to trap the different kinds of and sizes of gold that might occur on a particular creek. So a miner can go into Hector's and have specialized riffles built for him and his sluice box. Keeping in mind, once again, that Hector's does much more than just produce mining equipment. They also replace dozer blade liners, rebuild loader buckets and ripper shanks, and do heavy equipment repairs and modifications in general. So that's Hector's Welding at 13 Mile Richardson Highway. Their phone number is 488-6432. And if you drop over there, which I'd appreciate, tell them you heard about their support of Alaska Gold Trails from Jim Madonna. Anyway, that was the story, and that's what happened with Donna. And I think that I was trying to rob a little bit away from North Pole there and trying to zero in on Fairbanks. And I ought to be more careful about it. But Sandy, I want to tell the audience out there too, if they have a question of you, question about your tour, they can give us a call here at 479-TALK, and that's 479-8255. Sandy, I was thinking that people from around the interior of Alaska who moved into the interior of Alaska might benefit if they just arrived by taking a tour to see what was available in Fairbanks, and they might very quickly become educated on the characteristics that we have here that are of a pleasant nature. And so you say you have had a number of the locals go on your tour.
Oh yes, we have. And I'm always proud to take anyone who has lived around here on the tour and see if we can teach them anything. And we do. We not only give them some of the history of Fairbanks in the area, and some of the more colorful history too, but we give them the economical information that might not realize is useful.
Mm-hmm. And how long is the tour?
We have a tour every morning that runs 5 hours, covers all of those areas and more that I mentioned, and ends up at the beautiful pump house for lunch. Then we have the same tour in the afternoon that covers the same route but does not involve the lunch, and so it just takes 3 hours.
I see. And a 40-mile tour, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. When you go over the skyline,
We go over the skyline, yes.
What is the view like? You get a pretty good...
It's a beautiful view of the Fox area out there. We like to point out those areas that have been mined in the past and overgrown, and now are residences out there. The fact that the Blue Babe, one of the main attractions at the university, was discovered out there by one of our old-time miners, Walt Roman.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And finally, I have to give a little spiel about one of my fine sponsors here. And that, of course, is Gabe and Kathy out at Gabe's Truck and Auto. And we like to tell everybody that they specialize in auto repairs and light trucks, motorhomes, or even the big rigs. and they are pretty well known for giving some of the finest service in the Fairbanks area. And have you had any affiliation with Gabe's Truck and Auto?
Yes, Gabe has been extremely helpful to us in times of crises. We have equipment on the road. You usually have problems at some time or other. And we've had the opportunity to have Gabe fix us up.
Oh, I see. So they've been right there when you needed them,
that's
is that right?
Right.
You know, Gabe's does a lot of things, performs a lot of services there. One of the big things I always like to mention on the show is that they, as far as I know, originated the no-pass, no-pay policy for the IM inspection. And that simply means that if your vehicle doesn't pass, you just don't pay at Gabe's. And I thought that was nice. And they also have, of course, Gabe's towing service. He's got three wreckers available 24 hours a day and can handle any size rig. So that sets everybody at ease. And you know that with the slick streets out there, you may need to have that information at hand. So you might want to write their phone number down and put it in your glove compartment. That's 456-6156. And Gabe likes to tell folks out there that you can turn your rag into a ride right there at Gabe's Truck and Auto, located off Van Horn Road near Metro Field. And specifically, folks, and I had one of my answers, one of the people who answered one of my contest questions one afternoon, tell us that they're located at 2058 Donald Road. Of course, that's right near Metro Field. Or you can give them a call once again at 456-6156. Sandy, you're currently involved with Alaska Women in Mining as the president. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
And is that a fun job?
Yes, it is. It is. It's an interesting job. It's a job that I'm proud to have. We've had, I think, just four presidents so far since we've been incorporated, and it's a position that I am pleased to be able to fill.
And tell us a little bit about Alaska Women in Mining and what they do and what kind of position they hold regarding mining, the community, and the public in general.
Well, we became an official group in 1985 for the purpose of promoting educational, social, and scientific opportunities for people who are interested in our mining industry, mainly gold mining, but we have a lot of coal mining that goes on, and it all falls under pretty much the same category. Small miners are a target area that need to be helped and maybe even help protected. We have a few fundraisers each year, and the proceeds from that go towards promoting educational end of mining. We have a scholarship that we sponsor. We have also sponsored some of the studies that have been done on mining effects of the streams in mm-hmm. the area.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. good. What, in terms of the upcoming activities, I know that in you sponsor these things, and in generation of money, you have several activities. Didn't you come out with a book, a cookbook on mosquitoes, or how to prepare
yes,
a mosquito?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. It was a tongue-in-cheek, fun type little book that we, or actually they did before I really became involved with it, put out. And every once in a while, you'll see it on a stand somewhere for sale yet.
Well, I've just recently seen it on a stand at Alaskan Prospectors. And
okay.
if you've ever wanted to know how to prepare mosquito, especially for the tourist trade, I suggest you pick up one of those books, and it tells you step by step fashion on how to prepare a mosquito, and I'm sure that you'll enjoy it much, much better than previously ways that you've prepared them. But I've got some wild stories about mosquitoes, but I won't tell them today, Sandy. What other kind of revenue-generating activities are you doing? You got a quilt or something that you're doing?
No, we've talked about doing one. Quilting across the United States is becoming very, very popular, and we're looking into putting together one as a fundraiser that might be indicative of our heritage in mining. We do, every year, Gold Diggers Ball, though, that we get pretty excited about this time of year. It is the final event of the Placer Mining Conference that goes on every spring at this time. This is the 11th annual Placer Mining Conference that will be held over at Alaska Land the last few days of the month, and ends up Saturday night, April 1st, with our fourth annual Gold Diggers Ball.
I see. You know, it's interesting. I'm going to get back on Gold Digger's Ball in just a minute, but next week's guest will be Tom Bunsen, who is the chairman of the Placer Mining Conference, and he'll be here to give us a full description of the many papers that will be delivered. And, of course, these papers span the entire spectrum, all the way from recreational to professional papers, and it's an opportunity for those people out there in the middle north country here and anywhere else to come and find out what placer mining is all about and get a little bit better understanding on how to become rich and famous through the mining industry here in Alaska. So with that, you say that the Gold Diggers Monte Carlo Ball is the final event. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
And that's the fun part of it.
Yes, it is.
And tell me, you're going to have some music?
We're going to dance to the music of Sandcastle. They're well-known band around town. We've used them in the past and chose to use them again this year.
And what other kind of events are you going to have? I've seen brochures on the Gold Diggers Monte Carlo Ball, and the girls are kind of scantily dressed, and the men are in various costumes with vests and armbands, and they reflect probably a late 1800s, 1920s type atmosphere. Is that about the...
That is the theme of our Gold Diggers Ball, is that era. And we encourage everyone to come in some kind of costumes. The ladies like it because there are a variety of costumes for that period of time. Some of them like the can-can dresses. It's kind of neat to watch when you climb into a costume like that, how you just sort of take on that role. And so some of our can-can dressed ladies become floozies at the ball.
They take on the role, explain this to me, they take on the role of a floozy.
Right.
Some of the some of the upstanding ladies of this community.
Yes, we very often have dances for sale for a dollar, like they used to have.
Dances for sale for a dollar.
Right. Any floozy will give
and
you a dance
have,
for
what
a dollar.
Do they have on again?
The shorter can-can dresses.
Shorter can-can.
Yes.
This opens up a whole area of questions.
Then we have the ladies there standing guard who maybe might be at a Sunday tea with the outfits they have on. Then we have the ladies.
The prudish kind.
Right. They're taking note and watching over. We have ladies who love to come in the long ball gowns. We have a variety of costumes there, and we have ladies who choose not to come in costume at all. So we want to encourage everyone to show up, and the more in costume, the more fun. And we very often have, we plan to have this year, a costume contest.
You know, last year, was it the year before, you had a costume contest, and that was so fun.
Yes, it was.
I lost. tell me, there's some lady there that plays the madam of the whole affair. Who is that? I mean, not necessarily that you tell me who it is, but what does she do? Go around and make certain that everybody's collecting for the dances? Is that the deal, or what's going on?
Yes, as a matter of fact, that's a role that I like to play. I'm not the only one there. We have the Golden Days dancers who will show up and do some entertaining for us, and a lot of people out there are well familiar with Ricky Chagnon, who is also sort of a madam of the Golden Days dancers. I like to play that part, too. I sort of wander around, and being overall coordinator, I answer a lot of questions, make sure things are going okay, and just, in general, make sure that our ladies are showing all of our people a good time.
Yeah? Am I correct when I say that Oxford Assaying Refining is one of the sponsors of this Placer Mining Conference and some of the Monte Carlo business?
Yes, they are. They're one of our faithful sponsors.
Is that right? You know, I kind of like their line. They say, they're the precious metals people. I like that. It has a ring to it that has a good feel about it. When the precious metals people, meaning simply that they've got all kinds of precious metals over there. You know, they buy the gold from the miners, and of course they send this off to have it smelted and refined. But in addition to that, they have coins of silver and gold over there for sale at moderate prices. So if you want a gift for that someone special, stop over at Oxford Assaying and Refining. They've been a big supporter of all the activities of the mining community, and we just want the folks out there to know about them. And we also want to let them know that they can give them a call at 452-7858 for their metal prices. And if you need some questions answered in the office, the number is 456-3967. And so, if you've got ideas, or you have a period where someone needs a gift and you want a special gift for that someone, stop over at Oxford Assaying and Refining, and they're located at 208 Wendell Street. So, they are one of the sponsors of the Placer Mining Conference. I noticed that this is on the Saturday, and it's on, of all days, April 1st.
Yes, so this year it falls on April 1st.
And what time does it start?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock music starts. We shut down the casinos about 1 o'clock, a little before, and we start with the prize auction or drawings, and we're usually finished by about 2. It's a full evening of fun. And I didn't get to mention the fact that the fellas like this real well because of the costumes involved, too. They can come in their flannel T-shirts and grubby blue jeans and suspenders and look just like an old miner of the time. They can come maybe looking like the dandies in the casinos of the day with the vest and the little hats. Or they can show up in their polyesters. We don't care.
You don't care how they
come? No, we
just,
don't. Just come and have a good time.
Come and have a good time. We got a few more minutes here, Sandy, but I want to talk a little bit about one of my good sponsors, and that's, of course, Robbie at Tip Top Chevrolet, and they're located at 1916 Cushman right here in Fairbanks, Alaska. That's 1916 Cushman Street. And, of course, Tip Top Chevrolet is your authorized Chevrolet dealer, your one-stop center for new Chevrolets, as a matter of fact. They also have used cars, parts, and authorized service. And they, by the way, give tip-top service to the folks that drop in over there. And once again, they're located at 1916 Cushman Street, and their phone number is 452-8211. You ever have any experiences with Tip Top Chevrolet, Sandy?
Just before the show, I found out that Tip Top Chevrolet was one of the commercials here for, or the advertiser sponsors here for the show, and I have to give testimony for Tip Top Chevrolet. I delight in telling my friends at this point in time that I have a S10 Chevy pickup that is almost 5 years old, and it's just turning 90,000 miles, and I have had very, very little trouble with it. I live out of town. I'm on the road nearly 100 miles a day, oftentimes, especially in the summer, and it's a real testimony to the Chevrolet product.
Well, Sandy, I'm sure that the folks over at Tip Top Chevrolet are happy to hear that testimony, a real live one. And back to the Monte Carlo Ball, is there anything else that you'd like to say? We're going to be running out of time here in just a minute, but is there anything else that you'd like to say regarding where people can buy tickets or something of that nature?
You can purchase tickets through the Alaska Miners Association office. You can purchase them through any Alaska Women in Mining member, or that night at the ball.
Where's the Alaska Miners Association office?
Upstairs of the NC company.
Right there.
NC company has...
Okay. And what's the... is there a phone number they could call if they wanted to get a ticket? You have something?
456-6650, I believe, is Alaska Miners Association number.
Okay. And they could probably also contact Oxford Assaying and Refining if they wanted to as well. 456-3967.
Yes, they'll have tickets too.
And how about Alaskan Prospectors? They'd probably be happy to sell a ticket.
We hadn't asked them yet, but...
I'll give them a shot. They're open to it.
We'll stop by and see if we can leave some okay. tickets with them.
You know what, Sandy? I want to tell you something. I want to thank you for being on my show.
It's been a pleasure, Jim. Thank you.
It's been great. Thanks so much. Well, folks, once again, we've come to the end of our time. Thank you for listening. Come back again next week, right here, Thursday afternoon. And listen to Alaska Gold Trails. Our guest will be Tom Bunsen, who's the chairman of the Alaska Placer Mining Conference. And you're listening to KFAR Radio, 660 on your radio dial, right here in our town of Fairbanks, Alaska.
From ABC News, I'm Doug Limerick. The Senate has rejected the nomination of John Tower to be Defense Secretary. The vote was 53-47, with most Democrats against and most Republicans for. Utah Republican Jake Garn.
They have spoken. He has not been confirmed. But nevertheless, I think the Senate has made a mistake, and I think we may have set a bad precedent for the future in nominations.
Of course, the leader in the fight against the Tower nomination was Democratic Senator Sam Nunn of Georgia. After the vote, he heaped praise on Tower.
John Tower is a patriot. He has made important contributions to building a strong defense and a strong America. He will, I am sure, make many, many more.
So how did former Senator Tower handle rejection by the Senate? Here's ABC's Bob Clark.
The defeated nominee bore his bitterness well, but the hurt was clearly there. Tower declared he's never breached established ethical standards and never been derelict in his duty. He'll leave the center stage of history to return to Texas, the state he served for 24 years in the Senate. In the end, it was his old colleagues in the Senate, including a number of Democrats he'd counted as friends, who relegated him to history's scrapbook. But Tower, only the third cabinet nominee to be rejected by the Senate in 120 years, said it's time for an end to the bitterness and rancor of the bruising partisan battle over his nomination. Bob Clark, ABC News, Washington.
President Bush expected to name a new nominee for Defense Secretary very soon. The Senate did confirm William Bennett as the nation's first so-called drug czar. He'll lead the war against drugs. The former Education Secretary has also made it clear that he is in favor of a ban on semi-automatic weapons. More news after this.
Just over 100 miles to go. While you've already covered a lot of ground, you could go another 200 easily. Even cruising at full freeway speed, the road feels so smooth and so quiet. You can sit back, turn off the stereo, and truly enjoy the ride. You could only be driving a Buick with DynaRide suspension. No other car rides like a Buick. DynaRide, another reason why.
Some things change. Now Sears carries over 1,000 name brands. Brands like Sony, Levi, B.F. Goodrich, Spalding, and Nintendo. And some things don't change. Sears is still the only place to get dozens of best-selling brands like Kenmore, Craftsman, Die Hard, and McKidd's. But remember, whatever the brand, when it's backed by Sears, you get Sears' promise of satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. It's how Sears gives you your money's worth and a whole lot more.
Many of those walking the picket lines say they expected this announcement from Eastern Airlines Chairman Frank Lorenzo.
We're here to announce that Eastern has filed to reorganize itself.
Eastern has filed for protection under federal bankruptcy laws. That means the airline will be protected from its creditors while it's reorganized. Eastern officials say if the pilots cross the picket lines, they'll be rehired. But if they don't, new pilots will take over. In Miami, one of the machinists on strike talked about Eastern's timing in filing for protection under Chapter 11.
We are supposed to get paid today. So if they filed tomorrow, then it would have been too late. They would have had to pay us, so they just saved some more money.
Experts say if Eastern does make a comeback, it'll be much smaller than before. A Soviet military attaché is being booted out of the U.S. for spying. He was based in Washington. The Soviets call it a provocation. Maybe a major break in the Pentagon procurement scandal. A former Unisys executive and a company consultant pleaded guilty to conspiring to bribe former Assistant Navy Secretary Melvin Paisley. In Pittsburgh, a federal judge has fined Ashland Oil Company a record $2.25 million for an oil spill last year, which polluted two rivers in several states and threatened the water supplies for more than 1 million people. Those of us who are car buffs would love to attend the big Geneva Motor Show in Switzerland. Lots of exotic cars.